With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, in Luke chapter 24, we have a fascinating scene after Christ's resurrection where Jesus is teaching us something essential about what gospel ministry is and what the mission of his church would be between his ascension into heaven and session on the throne and his return on the clouds of heaven for judgment. And so we're sitting in this interim today, and this week we are considering what it means that Christ has ascended into heaven, and what are the implications for us now as those who have been called and set apart to a specific task and purpose as being members of his church, if you are a Christian today. Well, we see this very thing and this very connection that Jesus makes after his resurrection in Luke chapter 24. His own disciples did not understand that all of the scriptures pointed to him, and that he must suffer these things. And so remember what happened on the road to Emmaus. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 24, Jesus asked them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And the two men said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Now, what a teacher. You know, here he draws out of them in his patience. He didn't jump all over them for not understanding these things. He let them work it out, and that is a principle of any good teacher. He questions, and he lets the troubling student work out these things in the mind first. And you can imagine them. What things? Well, they begin to wrestle it out. The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. Remember what Jesus did in verse 25. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Now listen to this. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know, that's what ministry is. That's what preaching is. Showing Jesus as God's only mediator, the one whom God provided, the only one who's able to save sinners from death, and to preach him from all of scripture. And so when you look down at verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, this is what he had opened their understanding to see. "Then he said to them," this is verse 44, "these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You know, I submit to you today that the church is so anemic and it's so overrun with heresy, and Satan is setting up his throne wherever he wants because we have a generation of people who have risen up who have not yet learned this after 2,000 years, that all of Scripture must show us Christ. And it is our duty to open the Bible and show him from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And now if you understand this, then you understand what Jesus is doing in commissioning his disciples before his ascension at the end of Luke. He's saying to us, it was always God's grand redemptive design from the beginning that he would deliver his son, and that he would suffer, and that he would die, and he would arise the third day. And showing from all of the scriptures this central and this core truth and this need for Jesus to do this for sinners, that he would be preached to all the nations, that if they repent and believe in him, they will receive remission for their sins. That's the focus of verse 46. "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This, of course, had always been the case when God came to Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and announced that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and then rejecting Adam's fig leaves that he sewed together, trying to make skins, his own coverings. Instead, God shed an animal's blood and made coverings of skin for Adam and Eve. And he gave the first sermon preaching Christ. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And here, God was teaching us this right out of Genesis chapters 2 and 3. And it was preached through Abel, who took blood, remember, to his sacrifice. And the shedding of blood, while Cain brought his own works and the fruit of the ground. It was preached through Enoch. Jesus was preached. The Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Jesus was preached when Noah built the ark. It was a visual representation of the need to be covered by Christ from the wrath to come. And he preached Jesus as he's designated in the Bible. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And you come to Abraham, the one through whom the covenant of grace came, the promises, who Galatians 3 had Christ preached to him, we read. And when he took Isaac up to sacrifice him at the Lord's command, as soon as he lifted up the knife, and the Lord said, "Do not do it," instead there was a ram there that took Isaac's place. And that ram was sacrificed, and that ram was Christ. It pointed to Christ. Melchizedek, we could go on and on. Melchizedek, this figure who shows up with bread and wine with Abraham, signaling that this was an eternal high priest and that Jesus to come would be the eternal high priest who has the power of an indestructible life. Jesus' life was preached in Joseph, who was thrown into the pit, sold into slavery. That's a whole picture of Christ's life. And then he goes to Egypt and is exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. His life preached Jesus. And what of Moses, the one who led the people of Israel out of Egypt from bondage? Egypt has always been represented in the Bible as the place of the world and a place in bondage to sin. And Christ has led us out of Egypt. He's led us out of bondage to our sin and freed us and is taking us to the promised land. He preached the need, Moses did, for Christ to lead us out of bondage to our sins and foretold of the true prophet to come, as that was promised to Moses. And what of King David? "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit in my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.'" David spoke of his Lord, the one whom the Father would exalt to the right hand and make him a king. David foreshadowed the greater king to come. Shall we go on? Zerubbabel, the temple, the land, the whole Levitical system pointing to sacrifice and offering. My friends, all of this in the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, foreshadowed the work of Jesus Christ. And he must be preached from all of Scripture. Isaiah 53, "Surely he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs." Isaiah 53 is all about him. And so here we have revealed God's great redemptive plan now come to fulfillment. At this point, Christ has come, and he has suffered, and he died, and he rose from the dead the third day. And now the glorious plan of redemption is about to be underway in Luke chapter 24. That's where we come to in this point. In verse 47, he says, "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." It was always God's design that Abraham's descendants should be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars in heaven, and that all the nations, all the Gentiles too, should be included in the promise and become children of Abraham, those who by faith. And so now the gospel turns outward, not going to Jerusalem, but away from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And this was God's design, that he would raise up servants to preach Jesus, and that those who repent and believe in him will receive remission of sins. This was and is God's way of reconciling sinners. So what does Jesus say at this point in Luke chapter 24, verse 48? "And you shall be my witnesses of these things." So notice what Jesus is saying. He's giving us a program of what the mission of the church is to be before he leaves. So what is he saying? Here's the context. Here's what you proclaim. You are witnesses of exactly what the law and the prophets spoke of. You have seen it firsthand. You'll remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." So your responsibility, says Jesus in Luke chapter 24, with that reality in front of us, is to testify to these things. How so? Call the nations to repentance. You know, my friends, when I hear Jesus say, "You are my witnesses," we don't have the right to bring our own messages with our own ways of what we think will work. And that essentially is what has happened in the church today. I was painfully reminded of this the other night as I heard a preacher speaking to another man about the ministry. And he said, "You know, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do, and what do you want the church to be?" And supposedly the Lord said to him in a verbal voice as he recorded it, "I don't know. You tell me." You tell me. Sadly, that reality is the mentality in the church today, as if the Lord has left the design and message up to us. I have news for us. He hasn't. Jesus is giving us the whole program of salvation here, and how beautifully simple it is. "Proclaim me from all of Scripture," says Jesus. "Testify that in all the Scriptures point to what all they point to has been fulfilled in my person and work." And so our very purpose in being left here is to witness and to be witnesses of the grace of God in Christ as he has laid down his life for sinners. Are you hearing that message each and every week? Are you hearing how to do it sermons? Or are you hearing about Jesus who has done it for you and giving you so wonderful a salvation through his grace alone? That question is much more grave, of course, than we recognize. Today, there are messages out there that are not preaching Christ, and they are leading sinners right to hell. But the one message that is able to save you is the message of Christ and showing him that he is God's answer to sinners, that all who come to him may have life. Would you like to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church? We give you that invite. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship service times. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com, or you're always welcome to give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.